So giving up things can be hard. Sacrificing can actually be really difficult. And maybe certain things we're more willing to give up than others. It's that theme of sacrifice that will be our brick today in our series on Nehemiah. We only have 3 weeks left to go today and then two more. But if you haven't been with us or you need a little refresher, let's recap the first little bit of Nehemiah. First six chapters, mostly about the rebuild of the wall around Jerusalem. So Nehemiah was cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. He finds out, hey, the wall around Jerusalem is destroyed. It's in ruins. He's greatly distressed. So he gets permission from the king, and he goes, and he starts the rebuild project. And throughout that, he faced opposition. He faced challenges. But he built community and confidence with all the people that were involved. But then the rebuild finishes. It's done. But we still have a lot left to go. And the book takes a more internal turn. All right, the internal elements of the city needed to be rebuilt just like the wall did. The people of Jerusalem needed to remember that their identity came from God. They gathered together at one point in the town center to listen to Ezra read from the Law of Moses. They heard scripture. They knew the value of that. Then the people confessed their sins to God, and they renewed and focused on their commitment to God. All of those, identity, scripture, confession, commitment, those are some of the bricks that God uses to build us as followers of him, but builds his church as well. So we're going to talk about sacrifice. That'll be our next one today. And it involves giving something up. And sacrifice can be especially hard when we're giving something up and we're really not sure, are we getting anything back? Are we getting anything out of this when we sacrifice? But for us, let's think about for a minute, who are we sacrificing for? It's God. It's the God who sacrificed for us and has given us more than we can ever give him. So we're going to keep that in perspective when sacrificing. And think about this. Sacrifice says God is worth more than what I'm giving up. Sacrifice says God is worth more than what I'm giving up. So we're going to be in Nehemiah 11 today. Chris will have it up here on the screen. You can grab it in your Bibles. We're actually just going to read the first two verses of Nehemiah 11 today. So I'm going to read this, and then we'll kind of talk through it a little bit. Nehemiah 11, 1 through 2. Now the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem. The rest of the people cast lots to bring one out of every 10 of them to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while the remaining nine were to stay in their town and towns. The people commended all who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. That's all we're going to read. Because see, the rest of the chapter is another giant big list of names. It's people that went back to Jerusalem to repopulate it. But I want us to think back for a second to Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 4. It talked about how the city was large, the city was spacious, but there were very few people in it. So this is kind of connecting back to a few chapters before. The city needed people, and that's what's happening here. People are going to move back and live in Jerusalem, and it talks about the leaders of the city first. It's a big city. It's God's city. It needed people who would be there to lead it. So we have leaders moving back. But even more than that, the priests and the Levites came to live in the city. First off, the priests, we've mentioned them before, but actually to be a priest, there were some strict requirements. You had to trace your family line back to Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother. He was the first priest. We hear about Aaron back in the book of Exodus. You had to trace your family line there to be priests. But they were the ones who ministered at the altar. They could enter the sanctuary in the temple. Then there's the Levites. They actually came from the family line of Levi, who we hear about back in Genesis. He's one of Jacob's sons. Now, Aaron came from this line, which means all priests would have been Levites, but not all Levites could be priests. But the Levites, they'd be like the ministers. They helped administer, keep up religious life. They did some teaching, worked at the temple. They helped people, but they didn't enter the sanctuary or have that same level of responsibility as the priests. So we have leaders, we have priests, we have Levites that are all moving back, but we need even more. So it says the people cast lots to see who's going to move back. And we heard about casting lots last week as a way to kind of discern God's will or who should do something prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. So it's who should do something. And they cast lots for who is going to move to Jerusalem. Interestingly, though, this implies that people weren't jumping up and down to move back to Jerusalem because they had to cast lots to figure out who had to go do this. And historically, people almost being compelled or forced to move to cities happened. There were Greek cities that had forced repopulation where people would be compelled to move from a rural area to a city center to grow those cities. Think about moving when you don't really want to. That takes sacrifice. People in our story would have given up homes, farms, land. They had to go somewhere that's just been rebuilt. Who knows how sustainable it's going to be? Who are they really going to know? What's it going to be like? Maybe they're giving up comfort, peace, a pretty good life. But they did it. They sacrificed to go. Everyone sacrificed to rebuild the wall and now to rebuild the city population. So I want us to think about, as we think about sacrificing, I first want us to think about God's sacrifice for us. I think that's helpful to remember that sacrifice as we think about sacrificing for God. It puts it in perspective. And one of the most well-quoted, probably most memorized verses of the Bible talks about sacrifice. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And this verse is really easy to just kind of read or gloss over thinking, I've heard that one before. If you grew up in church, or even if you didn't, you may have heard this one in some way, shape, or form. Kind of rolls off the tongue in one ear, out the other. But when we don't take what it means to heart, we lose the impact of the sacrifice that Jesus made. We need to hear it. We need to maybe hear it in a different way to give it a different impact. So we're going to do a little exercise on this, okay? In just a second, I'm going to have Chris play a small clip of a song. And it's a song maybe you have heard before. But then we're going to listen to the lyrics in a different way. So Chris, play a clip of this very song. Wait for it. Come on, Mark. All right, you can stop it. It is actually 30, and they're still touring and playing it. Now, maybe you have heard that song before. If you didn't, it's Mbop by Hanson. Came out when I was a kid. They're brothers that played this song. It's fast, it's fun, it's catchy. Now, most of you, maybe, if you know the song, you jump to the Mbop section, right? That's the part people know. But those lyrics before that we started with are actually fairly hard-hitting. I'm going to read them. Hold on to the ones who really care, because in the end, they'll be the only ones there. When you get old, start losing your hair. Can you tell me who will still care? Who will still care? Now, when you slow it down, you read it a little differently. Maybe there's some more power, more impact to that song. And you realize it's more than just an absolute banger from 30 years ago. Okay? So let's reread John 3:16 a little bit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, stop there, his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God gave his only son to die, not to go to work, not to move, not to take on a role, but to die. So that whoever believes in God will have eternal life. God gave his son Jesus as a sacrifice for us. So we have eternity with God. So we have eternal community with God. Don't gloss over the gravity of that sacrifice as we look at sacrificing elements of our own life for God. And the first one we'll talk about is comfort. The people that moved to Jerusalem gave up different comforts. The land they were harvesting, people they knew. Maybe they were fairly comfortable. When they cast lots, it came to them. They gave up the comfort. They sacrificed to move. As I've gotten older, one of the main comforts of home I don't want to give up is my own bed. Right? I like my own bed. I know how I want to lay, the position of my pillows, all of that. But there are times when I got to be gone. Maybe I have to go stay in a hotel for something I'm traveling for. It's like, oh man, I sacrifice the comfort of my own bed for the unknown of the hotel bed. How soft is that mattress? How firm is it? How many pillows are they putting on there? Hotel pillows are way too fluffy for me in general. I don't like them. Okay? The sacrifice is that comfort of my own bed for the hotel bed. Sacrifice comfort. We've read Luke 9:23 before, but again, it says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Deny some of the comforts you'd like to have. Sacrifice those to follow Jesus. It doesn't mean every single comfort. It doesn't mean you won't have anything that makes you comfortable. But if there's something God calls you to do that involves giving up a comfort, we're supposed to do it. Maybe it's a move. Maybe you do actually have to move. This is kind of one of the extreme ones, but it happens. I know pastors who've moved across the country, missionaries that move around the world because they were called to go, so they sacrifice it. But that move involves sacrificing the comfort of stability and familiarity to go where God calls. Think about those for a minute. Stability and familiarity. These are tough ones for me to sacrifice. I am not a thrill rides in life type of guy. I don't like the blind corners or dark pathways. I want to know where I'm going, how I'm getting there, and what it looks like. But we don't always get that. And here's the thing I want us to try and remember. If we head into the unknown, we're going with a known God who knows the way. And if we head into a situation that's unstable, we have the stability of the rock that is Jesus. So take comfort in that if we give up the comfort of stability and familiarity. And sacrifice the comfort of convenience. Many areas of our lives we try to streamline, to make efficient, to make convenient. I get that. But God's not always a God of convenience. God will call us at some point to go completely out of our way to follow him. Imagine for a little bit your life or your day, it's moving along nicely. It's flowing in the fast lane, no real traffic, it's all good. And then God says, stop. I want you to go help that person over there. Go talk to that neighbor there. Give that bonus or commission money to that cause over there. What goes through your mind when you get inconvenienced by God? God, don't I matter? Don't you see me? I'm important. I got stuff to do. Well, you do matter. God sees you. You're important. He's got stuff for you to do. God's got stuff for you to do too. That's the point. So we do it, and we do it with the attitude and the heart of God when we have to sacrifice that comfort or convenience. We don't sacrifice and do out of the compulsion or obligation, but as a response to what God's already done for us. So if you're called, when you're called, to sacrifice the comfort of stability, familiarity, convenience for God who sacrificed that, do it, because he sacrificed for us. Sacrifice not out of obligation, but out of a desire to honor and worship and thank God for the sacrifice Jesus made. Then we sacrifice personal plans for kingdom purpose. We don't know what the plans of any of the leaders, priests, Levites, people had for their lives. That information is not given. But whatever they were, they probably had to sacrifice some of it to act on the purpose of repopulating Jerusalem. Their personal plans were sacrificed for the purpose of the kingdom of God. And really what that idea breaks down to is sacrificing our own plans and our own control while still being active in what God has called us to do. Many of us have probably flown on a plane before, right? Been passengers. Has anybody ever actually piloted a plane in here? No. Anybody been a flight attendant at any point? No? Cool. That's fine. Those are kind of, though, three main roles on a plane. They're not all, but right, you get your pilot, your flight attendant, and your passengers. Now, in life, I feel like pilot and passenger are kind of what we gravitate towards. I'm the pilot. I'm in control. I'm calling the shots. I'm navigating everything. Or the passenger, I'm just along for the ride, I got no responsibilities, I'm going to watch the movie and eat my snacks, and I'm just going to get somewhere. But here's the thing. As followers of Jesus, we're a lot more like the flight attendants. We sacrifice the control of the pilot, we're not flying the plane, but we're also not kicking back doing nothing like a passenger. We're part of the flight, we're serving, we're working while someone else is in control. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Sacrificing control involves a whole lot of trust. It involves trusting God at a very high level. And trusting can be really hard. I'm not naive to that at all. But remember what we're trusting God for that vision, for the plan, for the resources, for the destination. But all the while, we still get to be part of God's plan. We're just not in control. Flight attendants, not passengers. With God's plan and his kingdom purpose, we're active and we're doing. And some of what we live out when it comes to God's plan, some of that will be our ideas. It'll have our flair. It'll have our personality to it. It just has to fit within what God has called and fit within his purpose and his character. That requires trust. So as you sacrifice control, grow your trust as God works through you. Proverbs 3:5 also says, lean not on your own understanding. Sacrifice the control of feeling like you need to know everything or know everything on your own. You can be really smart. You can learn, you can gain knowledge, but don't neglect listening to God, understanding what God is really saying to you. A little look behind the curtain. When I'm getting ready for these sermons, I study multiple commentaries. I'm a commentary nerd. I have a bookshelf full. And I like it because I want to know what this says and what it means. And then I might get a really good idea as to how to maybe communicate it. But I can't cut God out of the process. It's really tempting and easy to do, right? But all the knowledge I gain in studying, the plans I come up with, need to come with the understanding and leaning on knowledge of God. So how do we navigate this one? I would say take your plans and ideas you have to God. Don't have them and just decide, I'm just going to run with it and go through a wall. But also don't just throw it away. Take it to God and place them in his hands. See what he does with them. Don't ask him to just sign off on it like it's a permission slip. But let him evaluate it. Maybe what he has for you isn't that far off to what you're giving him. Maybe he wants you to go in the other direction. I don't know. But I do know we all need to work on sacrificing the control of having our personal plans in place for the control of God's kingdom purpose. Now, we sacrifice the extraordinary for the ordinary. If we look at the chapter from today, people moved, right? And that's kind of a big thing. But nothing else really flashy happened. There wasn't a big confrontation with opposition like we've seen before. There were no festivals like we've had in other chapters. It's not always going to be big and bold and flashy by our standards when we follow God. God can do really big things. God does big things and extraordinary things, but our standards and God's standards are very, very different. I've shared many times, I'm a big Hootie and the Blowfish fan for music, and their most famous album is one called Cracked Rear View. They have three very famous singles off it called Hold My Hand, Only Want to Be With You, and Let Her Cry. Great songs, I love them all, and those singles, those kind of singles off of any album you pick, that's how people tend to judge the impact of an album. But when I go to this album, the last two songs on it I think are amazing. Songs called Not Even the Trees and Goodbye. They weren't big, they weren't uber popular, a lot of people don't know them, but they still hit, and I think the album is great because of songs like those. In life, see, we often want, we want the big, we want the hit single, but God shows up in that last track of the album. God may have us do something that he sees as extraordinary, but to us, we might think that's just plain ordinary. Don't miss that. Sacrifice the need to have life or situations be extraordinary by our standards to embrace the ordinary moments. Extraordinary to us, maybe it's a massive production or flashy, or it's a lot of people, or it gets a big response, or the post gets a lot of engagement, whatever. And in and of that self, that's all fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't assume those are the only ways God is working through you. I think people see God in us in the ordinary moments more than the extraordinary moments. Because in the big and flashy, they see us, our personality, our skills, our passions, and that's great. But in those ordinary moments, the conversation over coffee, the 2 minutes with the cashier, the listening ear to the coworker that's having a day, that's when they see God come out in us in kindness and grace and compassion. Don't miss or minimize those moments. God does big things. God's a big, big God. But there will be times when we need to see God and his impact in the big, but also in the mundane, in the ordinary, in the routine. Because when we live for God, we follow God and act for God in the ordinary, he sees the extraordinary in us because we're listening and following. It can take a lot to sacrifice the extraordinary for the ordinary. Maybe for some, it's really hard to do. But don't neglect or minimize the seemingly ordinary moments. That's when God often shows up in his own extraordinary way. And then sacrifice significance for service. I only read two verses today. The rest was a lot of names, and I skipped over it. I don't know this for sure, but I'm probably not the only pastor that skipped over a giant list of names. At least I hope not, or I'll feel really bad. Now imagine your name is written down, and we're going through it, and we skip over it. We don't read it out loud. Maybe it's hard, maybe it's hurtful, maybe it makes you feel insignificant. But even if others see us as insignificant, God doesn't. God always sees us as significant to him. So sacrifice significance for service. And when I say this, hear this. I do not mean that you're irrelevant and that you don't matter. That's not at all what this means. It means we sacrifice the need for people to know what we did, so that we can just meet the needs of others, because God will see it. That's what's at the heart of service. We need to get back to the heart of God with what we do. There's a song called The Heart of It by Benjamin William Hastings. He's a Christian worship leader, songwriter. He's written on songs that we've sung, not today, but other songs. And he wrote this song called The Heart of It to get back to the heart of truly worshiping God and writing songs for God. And one of the lyrics says, "When writing songs was just my way to show affection, and they were only ever made for your attention. Because when I'd worship, I would word it like there's one in the audience charts, when losing myself was the art. When his songs were only ever made for just God's attention, like there was one in the audience chart." Now he's going to continue to write. He still is. Some of his songs will probably become popular. But the point is the heart behind it for him is that these songs are written for God. That's what I want us to see, that the heart for service is about serving God, not about being seen or our significance to others. Philippians 2, 5-7, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." The heart is serving God. And we can talk about the ways we serve. We can take pictures. We'll do that with Love Day next week. There will be pictures. but we do it as a means of celebrating that people came together to serve God by serving their community. So post and share about what you've done. People can like and comment about it and think you're awesome, and you are, and it is awesome. But just don't serve for the likes and the comments or anything like that. Do it for the heart of God to be shared. We've talked about this idea before, so I won't go into it anymore, but it did hit me this week. So I want to bring it back up. And remember, sacrificing significance doesn't mean you're insignificant, not at all. It just means your heart is focused on serving God, and whoever sees and knows is fine. But know that God sees and knows and finds you very significant. And as we kind of wrap it up and we think about sacrifice, I want us to remember that sacrifice is not for nothing. It's worth it. Because one of the hardest parts, as we said, about sacrifice is if we feel like we're getting nothing back. But when we sacrifice for God, it's not for nothing. With our heart on God, it always honors God. It pleases God. It draws us closer to God. And whether people realize it or not, when we sacrifice for God, it shows them the heart of God. All of that's something, and it's probably more than we could ever realize. It strengthens our faith and relationship and connection with God. And it's a way of sharing our faith without having to craft the perfect words to say to somebody. Sacrifice is hard, but it's worth it. It's a brick that God uses to build us and build his church. So remember that God sacrificed for us first. He sent Jesus, who gave his life for us. Keep that in mind as we sacrifice for God. And sacrifice comfort. God will push us out of our comfort zone at some point and into the unfamiliar. But take comfort that God's with you in it. And sacrifice personal plans for kingdom purpose. Remember, we're the flight attendants. God's flying the plane, but we're part of the journey. We get to serve and be with people while we're following God. And sacrifice the extraordinary for the ordinary. God works in the everyday and the seemingly mundane. Yeah, he works in crazy big ways too, absolutely. But sacrifice the need for something to be big just to see God in it. Those ordinary moments can have an extraordinary impact for God's kingdom. And sacrifice significance for service. Serve others just with that servant heart of God. Serve from a heart that is focused on God, is focused on others. No matter who knows you serve, and I promise you, God sees that as significant, and God sees you. And remember that sacrifice matters. It draws us closer to God. It strengthens our connection with God. And it shows God to others, whether they even realize it or not. So sacrificing for God's always worth it. It's always worth more than we ever gave up. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that even in this short passage, we could pull out the sacrifice that got made. So God, I pray that we would have on our hearts and you would put on our hearts how we sacrifice for you. And God, maybe it's not in something big. Maybe it's a smaller way. God, I pray that we would just have that heart, that we'd be willing to sacrifice, to serve you, to show others who you are. God, to serve your kingdom and your purpose, God. And God, I just thank you that as we sacrifice, that you see us, that you know, you love, you value us as we serve. And God, most of all, we thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, God. We sacrifice with our heart on you in response to that. In your name.